stands here to minister your word. Lord, we know that he sought out your heart. We know that he doesn't stand here, Lord, just to tell stories or to share a couple scriptures. He stands here to share the word of God. And we pray, Father, that you would anoint him today. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you move powerfully through him. And Lord, we pray for ourselves also that our hearts are ready to receive. And not just ready to receive, but to be obedient to what you speak to us today. Lord, let that word come forth like that mighty trumpet. Lord, we pray and we ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, I got to set the stage real quick. So if I could have Amanda and Jesse. I've already used up all my volunteers in the past, so I got to go to family now. And they're still leery about trusting me. Well, what are we going to have to do? What are we going to have to do? Laura, can you bring up... For those that you don't know, just like Ray, this is my daughter, Amanda. Jesse, I guess I'll claim too, as my son. Got to have some visual props here. This is my Vanna.
Yeah.
All right. Jesse, you want to put your foot in that? Having a little bit of trouble. But I don't want you going nowhere, so I want you to put the zip tie around the loop and zip tie your foot, because you'll try to slip out and run. You get the yellow one. Amanda, can you do the same? If you try to run, the zip tie gets tighter. And you wonder how my kids grew up so well. It does, doesn't it? All I had hit was this, you know, my wife did it to me once. It worked, so, hey, maybe it'll work for the kids. All right. This is the fun part. Where are you going? You won't fall if you stand there. I'm not going to run. That's right, I didn't tell you what I was going to do, did I? But you guys won't be able to go far. Not at all. All right. All right, here we go. As you can see in my demonstration here, one of the things that God's impressed upon me and my wife, we talked about abundant living, and in that abundant living, we get trapped. We actually were born into a trap, born with a sinful nature that bound us just like this. And it's something that for some of us, we may not even dealt with that yet. For others, we may have dealt with the sinful nature, but we haven't dealt with everything that goes with it. Sort of like the Egyptians, right? When they held the Israelites in slavery. They were in bondage for 400 years. I won't keep you that long. For 400 years, they were in bondage until they were set free. But the thing is about that is it says, and I read about this, I mean, the way we're talking about it, is that, you see, they do this in a circus. They do it with an elephant. They take a young elephant, and they put a chain or a rope around its foot, and then they drive a stake in the ground. And because it's just enough to keep that young elephant there, that's as far as that elephant goes. That's all he knows. He's restrained by that stake and that rope. And he doesn't know nothing more. The elephant continues to grow, but the chain or the rope continues to be around his foot, holding him there. That, as Pastor Don said, if you believe, then you'll see the glory of God. Well, the elephant doesn't believe that it can go anywhere. The bigger it gets, still doesn't believe it can do anything more than what it's done in the past. It stays stuck in that pattern of sin, that pattern of, this is as far as I can go. This is as much as I can do. This is all that life has to offer me. And that's what it believes. It believes the lie. And we look at that elephant with that stake in the ground and that rope or that chain, and we're like, all the elephant has to do is really just go. It'll pull the stake up. I mean, these elephants can push down trees. They can kick over cars. Why is it staying there? It's staying there because the elephant's mind has never been renewed. It's never been washed over like we just sung about. Going down to that river is about washing over our minds. And that all too often happens with us as Christians. We live in this world, but we're not supposed to be a part of this world. And we don't wash over our minds with the word. We don't wash over it with the message that comes forth on a Wednesday or a Sunday. We don't meditate on it. We don't take the time to do it. Why is that? Well, for some of us, it's, well, I never did that. That's not, I come to church on Sunday, I come on Wednesday, but that's just not me. Another teaching we said was, then change. Then change. If it's not you, change it. Well, I don't do things that way. I don't get up early and study. Then change it. Because all that is lies and patterns that have kept you where you're at. And it keeps you where you're at until you're willing to change. God doesn't change. We have to change. Holiness, not happiness, is the chief end of man. We are not to preach the doing of good things. Good deeds are not to be preached. They are to be performed. You know, as Christians, we can give a lot of lip service to what it is that God wants. And we actually can do that for others. I have no problem telling people what God wants for their life. Will I stand in front of the mirror and tell Ken what God wants for his life? I ask you guys this Wednesday to examine yourselves, examine your walk, to see just where it is through God's eyes you are and where he'd like to bring you. Pastor Don talked about no mas. Right? I looked it up. No mas. It was a plea for mercy. No more. The phrase no mas means no more in a sense of enough, or as with the boxer Pastor Don referenced, enough. I quit. I quit. That's it. I'm not doing this. No more. That's what Duran said. I'm done. I quit. This is too much. I've grown too weary. There's too many trials and tribulations, too much out there. I quit. He talked about not saying no mas, about rebuilding the wall, about continuing on this path. Make no mistake, hearing that message, that wasn't enough for us. How many times has the Israel's heard the message, seen the miracles performed, and still said, I'm not doing it. I can't do this. Because all too often we try to do it in our own strength. All too often we try to do it in our own wisdom, under our own understanding, never turning to the Word of God. Never turning to God. We have that ingrained in us to try to do it ourselves. Instead of being the son and the daughter and saying, listen, I need to turn to God to be able to accomplish the things that he wants for my life. As I said, Pastor Don was no doubt referring to the infamous welterweight title match between Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard in 1980. When Duran ended a fight in the eighth round saying no mas, he was widely accused of taking a dive. In this context, no mas can be translated as that's it or I can't go on. And I know you've all felt that. You've all said it in your mind, or at least it's been whispered in your mind by the enemy. And then you started buying into the lies. Started buying into the fear of not having a job through the summer. Fear can go to hell. And shame can go there too. There's another song for you. But it's more than a song. The song is just a vehicle to get us to the throne of God. Fear can go to hell and shame can go too. Because we serve a God bigger than both. Bigger than both. So I looked up, what in this day and age, I looked up, you know, Pastor Don, he's talking about the, well, what does it mean to tap out? Anybody here ever hear the word tap out? Right? Heard lots of people say, I'll never tap out. Some of them say that with a false bravado, which rapidly gives way the first time they experience a not-so-pleasant chokehold or a submission hold. We all make that commitment, I'm never tapping out. This is it. I'm going all in. I'm not tapping out today. I'm not tapping out tomorrow. And yet we don't do anything to reinforce that. How are you going to reinforce the fact that you do not want to tap out? Are you going to reinforce it by just absorbing that word? Are you going to reinforce it by the fellowship of the saints? By showing up for the word on Wednesday? Are you going to reinforce it by showing up early for prayer on Sunday? Are you going to show it up in your personal lives? Because don't kid yourself, just like that elephant, if you believe that you're going to be able to not tap out and not change anything in your life, see where that gets you. It will not get you an abundant lifestyle in Christ. You're going to have to turn around and make a commitment, not just to Christ, but to following him as one of his disciples. There are those people, however, who will likely take this conviction to the grave. We've had to stop Jesse and Shane from wrestling when they were kids. They weren't going to take it to the grave, but they were going to take it to the hospital. Because neither one of them wanted to tap out. In moments, you know there was going to be broken bones. It's like, okay, he's blue. I think he needs to tap. I'm tapping for him. How many people know family members, relatives, friends, neighbors, that if you were to take a glance in their life, and I've said this so often, you take a glance in their life and you're like, okay, I would have tapped then. They're at bottom, but they don't realize it. They're still going. I would have tapped then. Listen, dude, you need to tap. You know, I would have tapped for them. Why you keep going down those roads? Why you keep choosing that same path thinking it's going to be any different? And yet they do. They refuse to tap out. Most martial artists, instructors included, don't give much thought to the actual meaning behind tapping out. A lot of instruction is typically given as to how to tap out, when to tap out, even when to do what to do when someone taps out. A little discussion ever takes place about the importance of tapping out. We're going to talk about the importance of tapping out. At its core, tapping out is a contract between two individuals involved in a contest or a class where martial arts skills are being employed. The reason using martial arts in classes or competitions requires such an agreement is because these are original activities designed to end someone's life, or at least cause them considerable harm, like the brothers wanted to do to each other. They get angry, upset, and they said, okay, we're going to take care of this. So the tapping out was that you didn't take it to that extreme. Right? So let's get a look at what tapping out means. First, let's look at the person tapping. Tapping out is a level of self-awareness, situational awareness, raw honesty on the part of the person who is tapping. We're going to have to be honest with ourselves. You got to examine yourself. You got to know your limitations. You have to look at your situation and say, really? Do I really want to continue doing the things that I'm doing and expect a different result? And tapping out, I'm aware of that I'm in danger. I'm aware that I'm in danger of losing consciousness or at one or more of my limbs, joints, bones, or muscles at the point where they risk the sustaining serious harm. It is an awareness that I no longer have control over the situation which places me in this harm. It is the insight that if I do not take action, I'm in imminent danger. The heart is deceitful above all else. If we don't take action, if we don't wake up and think that we're going to get through this life with the minimal action of truly following God at a distance, good luck. You're going to be on the fringe. You're going to get picked off. You're going to turn around and end up in bondage again and not even realize it. This world is still looking to take every one of us out. We may have made the commitment, but it hasn't relinquished or tapped out with trying to destroy you, trying to take you out, trying to rob you of your destiny, trying to rob you of the providence that God is to provide for you. Tapping out is a plea for mercy. By tapping out, I am acknowledging to the person I'm embroiled in the conflict with that they have advantage and that I submit, accept, or yield to a superior force, to the authority or will of another person. That's how Webster defines it. And you're asking them to accept your surrender. Amen? So we need to turn around and tap out. Pastor Don said, no mas, I say tap out. But in what context? The context is we need to tap out to God. Quit running from him. Quit fighting him. Quit fighting his way, saying, well, I know that that's your way, but I don't do things like that. I want to do it this way. And we go off on those tangents of doing things our own way, in the name of God, hoping that he's going to bless it, hoping that everything's going to work out because, you know, I did it in your name. Yeah, but you did it your way. You didn't do what it is that he asked you to do. The word speaks to that. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of that so that once we're free, we can stay free. Once we start to see that abundant living, we want to stay in the midst of that abundant living. Once we see the Spirit moving, you want to stay where the Spirit's moving. Not get caught up in the mundane everyday life that the world offers you. That doesn't glorify God at all. Not that I have already obtained this, or am I already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I don't believe any of us would be here today if God wasn't calling you. I don't think God's in the business of wasting your time. I don't think he's in the business of wasting your life. I think he's in the business of calling you. Are we listening? Are we truly listening? Or is it just grown so familiar with us to come into the church, to come into the presence of God, that we can come in and go out almost with a contempt? Almost with no reverence of what just happened. One testimony after another of miracles, of extraordinary things. We're like, yeah. Okay. And then we find ourselves in a short amount of time, like the Israelites, grumbling and complaining. Because of that familiar spirit that wants to attach itself to us, that we have to daily, if not hourly, sometimes break free of that. Break free of it. I'm going to read from Psalm 107. Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. We talked about his love today. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and the south. I think that's got everybody here covered, east, west, north, south. We all don't live in the same place. We don't live in the same cities. We're scattered. But yet he brought us here to this particular place. He gathered us. Like I said, he wanted you here today. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And that's where I equate it tapped out. They cried to the Lord. So in the midst of their distress, what happened is they tapped out. And they said, Lord, enough. No more. No more of my way. No more of this. Please, no more. I can't take it. I'm tapping out. I surrender to you. Now sometimes, like little kids, we do that just to get out of the mess. We no sooner do it than a few days later, a few weeks later, a few months, we're back to the same thing. We're just looking to offset that. And then we're like, how could I be in the same situation again? I just don't get it. Because you're not implementing the new things that need to come. And you're really not tearing down the old things that need to go. You're just wishing it go away. And that you still get to enjoy the flesh. You're not wanting to put the hard work in of going to the cross. There's four times that this happens in this psalm. It says, and he delivered them from their distress because they cried out. They tapped out. He delivered them. That's what you hear is deliverance after deliverance after deliverance of us from our own situations. He led them by a straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for this steadfast love. He led me here years ago. And I finally tapped out, said I had enough. But I'll tell you what, in being here, it doesn't mean that I didn't go off and want to do this, want to do that, or there was times the world wanted to draw you out, draw you back to that life, draw you back to those situations, or just to rob you of what you really inherited, what you really have in Christ. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. It says here, some sat in darkness and in shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. In irons. Now, thankfully that in that before envelope, and then you had the after, that these children came in the after envelope. So this is new to them being bound, right? They've never been bound by the world. They've never been bound by their sinful nature, right? Wrong. Because it's a daily thing. And as much as me and their mother worked at it, they've come of age, they got to do it themselves. They got to do it themselves. They got to choose for themselves who they're going to serve. They got to choose for themselves if they're going to study the word. They got to choose for themselves if they're going to show up for prayer with brothers and sisters in the Lord. They got to choose if they want to fulfill God's destiny for their life. They got to choose if they want to open their mouth when they're in their workplace or in the store or the laying on of hands when you're in line at the grocery store, when you hear of somebody's distress. They have to choose that for themselves. And by making no decision, they've made a decision to make no decision. So we're going to choose. Choosing is one of the greatest gifts God's given us. But it's such a liberty that we choose often not to choose rightly. That's the sad thing. Too often we choose to not choose rightly. And we excuse it with, I'm busy. That's not me. I don't talk to people, right, Shane? I don't get up in front of anybody and pray. But you know what, Shane? Fear can go to hell. Fear can go to hell. Because that's just a tool of the enemy to keep you bound up. It's a lie. Why we sing these songs if we're not going to believe them? Why can't we distinguish the truth from the lie? God didn't make us to be fearful of man. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. In their trouble, they cried to the Lord. Man, to think that there's not too many people that don't cry out to the Lord in their trouble. You know, nobody, I have a lot of relatives, and none of my relatives want to be a Christ follower in a sense. There's some. But the minute things happen, they tap out and say, hey, Kenny, what do I need to do here? What do I need to do here? Then they want to run to the Lord. And then it's kind of sad because you're like, well, you need to do what I told you 10 years ago. No, what do I need to do in this situation? The same thing I told you 10 years ago. So you've been bound to that stake 10 years, not experiencing Christ, the liberty of Christ, because you want to do things your way. How's that working for you? It goes on and it shares four things total, two more things about how people found themselves in a certain situation and found themselves tapping out, and how God is faithful in the midst of that covenant, not a contract, as in martial arts, but a covenant. He is faithful that if you tap out, he's not going to turn around and break your legs. He's not going to turn around and continue to choke hold on you. He's not going to say, I didn't know you tapped out. Sorry, or I don't care that you tapped out. Too late. Now, there's going to be a time where you don't tap out. It could be too late. Don't wait for that. And if there's a time that you find yourself in your life right now that you need to tap out, don't wait. By all means, tap out and surrender to God and say, let's try this your way. Let's taste and see how good the Lord is. Now, Eli spoke of how good the Lord was with his relative passing away. That she did pass away, but spiritually, she was alive as ever before, filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can't always put it the visual on, I'm going to judge my life based on the physical aspects of this life. It needs to be based on the spiritual aspects of our lives. It's nice to be blessed. Don't get me wrong. We chase after those things. And even when we don't, we do. If you don't believe me, everybody needs to go home today, shut their air conditioner off for the rest of the summer. You will chase after whatever you got to keep the air going. Not go without an inconvenience. You will. You become the repairman or whatever and say, listen, okay, I'll give up this, and this, but we got to have air. Don't kid yourselves. That same psalm, if you look up the study Bible, says those who sat in darkness, the next group of exiles sat in darkness in the shadow of death. The second line, prisoners, indicates these people suffered as captives and forced laborers. Sounds like the Israelites. Sounds like the Russellites. Sounds like us at times. We're captive, forced labor, because they had rebelled against the words of God. Anybody here rebel against the words of God before? Well, you had to have heard them to rebel against them. So it wasn't from a lack of hearing, it was a lack of putting action to those words. It was a lack of saying, well, you know what? They need to tap out. I know their life, and they need to tap out. They need to turn around and get more of God. What about us? What about me? Do I need more of God? Do I need to tap out? Or do I have every area that God wants me to have conquered? When the Israelites crossed over to Jordan, there was 31 kingdoms that they had to overcome. 31. Walk in a park, right? Fred, today is going to be you against 31 of us men. Walk in a park. Fred would be like, my God's got this. Just like David, my God's got this. My God's got this. Fred in and of himself, he'd be like, I'm not crossing the Jordan. Fred with God living in him, my God's got this. I don't know how. I might not understand it. But I do know my God and he's faithful. Now, Fred's the type of person like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, right? They were asked to bow down to the idols. Did they? Did they tap out? They made a proclamation that our God is able to save us. See, we made that proclamation, our God is able to save us. And we stop there. And we wait for that salvation of our situation. But if we don't see that salvation of our situation, do we say, but even if he doesn't save us from the furnace, we're still not tapping out to your idols. They were resolute in not tapping out to somebody else's idols. When we done do this, because here's the zip tie. You guys weren't even bound back here. Just thought you were. That's all it takes. We laugh, but that's all it takes. The enemy comes in just like that. He whispers in our ear. He whispered in my daughter Cassandra's ear this week that there was an issue with the baby. My wife calls me at work. She wasn't whispering in my ear. She's tapping. Honey, here's what's going on. And I know that God is good. And I know, but I've had an experience similar. And fear is wanting to come in. Told her what song to put on. I said, fear can go to hell. Fear can go to hell. She says, really? Wednesday I preach, Thursday this happens. Because he knows if he can't get to me, he's going to go to those that you love. He's going to go after those that you love. So you would think that I would pray for my daughter, Cassandra, and my son. And that'd be good, right? But I'm a little bit of an Irish stubborn man. I said, okay, we're praying for Cassandra. We're praying for Shane. We're praying for all these other women that are having babies right now. All these mothers that have had babies. Because that wants to spread like a wildfire through the camp. Instead of the good news and that there is nothing wrong. And we begin praying for all the women having babies and all the little ones that have been born lately. The ones that have been dedicated unto the Lord from when they were a baby. That not one would be lost. Not one. Now the thing about this psalm, as it talks, is that God delivered the one individual out of the group. Is that what it says? No, he delivered the whole group. In every situation, it was the whole group of people that got delivered. He redeemed the whole group. That's the thing about coming together as a body. That you could be struggling. But as a body, God looks at us as a whole. Not just as a part. That's why it's so important to be part of a body. So that the rest of us can strengthen you. In the midst of that. The rest of us can bring truth to the situation. The rest of us can walk that journey with you, that season as Pastor John talks about in life. And you can do the same thing. If you haven't experienced that yet, have you done it for somebody? Have you walked alongside somebody going through something and bring them right to the Holy of Holies? Now, the thing about being set free in that sense is that they're set free, correct? Are they set free? All right, I'd like to see him. Well, Jesse probably can't do it, but I know Amanda can. She's in training. Not that you guys are to do this, but I'd like to see him run through the pews right now. Do you think that's going to be an easy task if that was the case? No? Well, for you, it wouldn't have been easy anyhow. But would it be an easy task them dragging this baggage around? Because being set free from that respect is like, oh, I'm free, but they're carrying all this baggage. And the reason why that baggage is there is that the shackle goes on the foot, is that the stake was in there, but all of a sudden they got a glimpse, they had a revelation of, oh, God's bigger than that. Oh my gosh, I'm bigger than that. I can pull that stake right out of the ground. And so they pull it out of the ground and they start wandering. You don't believe me, look on YouTube. Elephants got loose. Right? But the owner, he sees this, he just got to get a hold of this when they stop for a second. And then he can wrap it around something again. And all of a sudden, when he wraps it around something again, they feel that taunt. And they're like, oh, no, I was just dreaming. I'm not free after all. And they're right back to where they were. If not more depressed, more discouraged, because I'm right back where I was. Because they didn't get rid of the baggage. They didn't get rid of the wrong thinking. And they didn't replace it. So they need to be set free, right? This is why I had to bring my kids up here. They needed to be set free from this shackle, not just the other one. I'll let you do it. Don't cut that suit. You're not getting another one. See? And I bet you they both think that feels good. I've been standing up here for the whole hour. You're next, Matthew. He's standing right there. Look at it. He's going to watch her struggle in her walk. He didn't hear a word I said. He's like, man, you know, you should probably try a little harder. Now, if you ask them to go up and down the aisles, what do you think? Think they'd have a better chance? They'd have a better chance, but they haven't done anything different yet. Because they're going to experience something a little bit different, a little bit more unfamiliar than what they're used to. They need to know what it is they're to be doing. If you get somebody that's saved, born again, you say, there you go, you're free! Free at last! This was just the means to bind this. Our minds, our thoughts. That's all that was. You getting rid of this, did it change your mind? It's the washing of the Word of God that changes our thoughts and our minds. Not just the release of the bond. Christ did that, but we have to wash our minds with the Word of God. We have to ask, is that real? Is that true? That all things are possible in Christ Jesus. Is it? Then why are we getting discouraged when we want to do those things? Amen? Amen. Our challenge is that you're not going to be able to just take this, because the enemy's like, oh yeah, you are so free now. Thank God you guys are free. You guys are wonderful now. You've been set free. You know what? You don't even have to go to a church. You're so free. A church is just going to bind you, and they're going to put stuff on you that you're going to have to do this and do that. This is how you should live. This is how you shouldn't live. You don't have to if you want to read the Word. Most people don't read the Word, so that's why they come to church only. Well, I don't have to take time to read the Word. I just heard a message. I heard him talk for way too long. Way too long. Why would I have to get into the Word this week? Why would I have to seek God for myself? And you wonder why troubles come upon us. Troubles have a way of having us cry out, tap out. So wisdom would dictate, don't wait for troubles, tap out now. If you're in trouble, tap out. If you're in the midst of a trial, tap out, surrender to God, and see what he has for you. If you're not, tap out. Be sure. Listen, I don't want to be resisting you, Lord. If there any way, Psalm 139, if there's anything in me, Lord, search me. Anything between me and you, search me, show me. And let's get rid of it. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll choose to serve God. He gave a declaration, a proclamation to the people. He gathered them all in one assembly. What about you guys? You would have to choose this day. That's what's nice about God's mercies being renewed each and every day. This day, you have the ability to choose if you'll serve God. It is up to you. But, he warned them, let me tell you this, you're going to have to put away the idols. You're going to have to put away some things. And I don't know, because them things, they seem to have a strong bond, a strong attachment in your life. And we think, well, I don't know if I could change. I don't know if I could do that. Let's change. But it's going to come from tap. God, you know what? I can't do it by myself. I can't. I've grappled with this. I've grappled with that. I can't do it by myself. But I know I can do all things through you who strengthens me. I surrender. I surrender. I'm going to get on the altar. I'm surrendering. If it's that sin that's kept me from coming closer to you, if it's that sin that keeps me from going into the Holy of Holies, I want it gone. I want it gone. I want the abundant living that you promised me. I want it gone. I want to live a victorious life. I want my children to live a victorious life. I want my grandchildren to live a victorious life. Not me cowering somewhere. Not me giving lip service as a Christian, as a Christ follower, but not having it flow out of us that we can't help but talk about it. Can't help but say something. Because it's not what we do, it's who we are. It's who I am. Amen?
Amen.
I got a song I want to play. Give my two children a hand. Can you turn it up? I could have the prayer team come up. Fear can go to hell. Shame can go there too. There is no shame in realizing that we missed the mark. It happens all the time. The foolishness of it is that we don't tap out. We don't come and say, God, I need you. We pick ourselves up in our own strength all too often, trying to muddle on. Not feeling the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, not having that renewed vision for what it is that he's doing, that the very miracles that he performs in our midst, all too often, we don't even see. We don't even see him as miracles, but we heard of them today. Did we hear of them today? Did we see, did they paint a picture of a miracle with the things that happened? That it was more than just Tyler getting a better job. It was Tyler continuing to build a relationship with his wife, with his son, continuing to be able to be there to provide for him, that he isn't taken out of the house as a slave working 65 hours a week to barely get by. There's more to it than just, ah, man. God's purposes are greater than that. They're greater for your life than you believe. Your destinies are greater than what you have experienced. You haven't seen nothing yet. Amen? We got coffee and donuts upstairs. If you desire prayer, we have these people up here to pray for you. More than welcome to come up. Thank you.